Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Good afternoon. This is the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We are talking for the remainder of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show today all about the J6 Committee. Its hearing of earlier today broadcast live on this very station, chatting about the significant things coming out of that hearing, the revelations about this quite spectacular December 18th late night unhinged meeting, not so as one witness described it, in an attempt by the president, or more directly, his supporters in the names of Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn, to try to keep in office. And the fight that ensued between them and members of the White House staff, including Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, to try to bring this to an end, to stop this. But it happened over the course of several hours and resulted early in the morning of December 19th in the president's tweet inviting everyone, Americans, and in particular a certain subset of Americans, the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, others who would believe in the lie that he was telling about the election being stolen, inviting them all to come to Washington, D.C. to try to overturn the legitimate results of that election. During the course of the introductory period of today's hearing on Capitol Hill by the J6 Committee, Liz Cheney from Wyoming, the vice chair, said, you know what, all that we're seeing falls into sort of three rings. Discussed a lot of this before, Mike Pence being one of those rings, an attempt to convince Mike Pence, contrary to the law, contrary to what Pat Cipollone and everyone knows, that he does not have the capacity to declare the election fraudulent and send the elective ballots back to the states. That was one ring. She talked about the second ring, much in focus today, of these extremist groups led by Stuart Rhodes, the Oath Keepers, Enrique Tarrio, and others, the Proud Boys, to coordinate this event on Capitol Hill, to undertake to overthrow what was going on there and stop the counting of ballots. And then third, Liz Cheney also said, focusing on January 6th and the things that the president said on the ellipse that day, to encourage this large and increasingly angry crowd, thousands of people, enraging the rally, as she said, exciting them up, prompting them to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue, walk down the street, and approach and then breach the Capitol and attempt to stop the proceedings from going forward. She mentioned, as did others, as did two of the principal presenters today, Stephanie Murphy from Florida and Jamie Raskin from Maryland, both parts of the committee. Both of them also talked about the fact that there was a noose placed on the Capitol grounds, presumably intended for the vice president of the United States of America. Jamie Raskin, at the end of the hearing today, talking about American carnage, not only on that day, but taking up the words that the president himself had said during the course of his inaugural statement, his inaugural address to America, describing this dystopian America that, in fact, as Jamie Raskin described this afternoon, he himself has now created this American carnage, again invoked by Jamie Raskin on January 6th in an attempt to undermine the legitimate election that happened in November of the previous year. We're taking your calls also about what happened today, the other significant findings. We're going to chat more about those, including the creation of the president's speech that he delivered on January 6th at the Ellipse, the significant events that also reveal his intent, his purpose, his power, if you will, his assumption of power in trying to command this unruly crowd, trying to bring them to the point of Fuhrer and to do exactly what they did. And then we're also going to chat a bit about these two witnesses who testified, Jason Tatenhoff and Stephen Ayers. One of them deceived for a long time by the Oath Keepers, but seeing the light of day and describing the fraudulent nature of what they do. The other one, Stephen Ayers, at the very end, describing how he himself, his life, the life that he had created with his wife, was also there, destroyed by accepting this invitation of the president to come to Washington, D.C., believing that the president was honest and true, when in fact, as Mr. Ayers testified this afternoon, now recognizing that this was all false, asked by, I believe it was Stephanie Murphy, asked by Jamie Raskin, if you knew then what you know now about what the president's knowledge was, that it was everybody telling him there was no the election had not been stolen. Mr. President, this effort is inappropriate. It is illegal. It is not in the best interest of the nation. Would you come? And Stephen Ayers said no. I lost my job. I lost my house. I felt like I needed to be there. Why? Because my president told me I needed to be there. Stunning, stunning testimony at the end of the day about the impact of what the president did in inviting the Jamie Ayerses of the world and also the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and many others to Washington, D.C. Hundreds of people now indicted by, charged, many of them sentenced already for their involvement in that. Many more to come. We're taking your phone calls. And in fact, we do have a phone call. Lou, you're on the line with us. Your comment or question as we talk about the J6 committee this afternoon.
I found out that Hunter Biden's laptop says that $35 million was given to Biden by the Chinese. And I think they're going to impeach Merrick Garland when Republicans take over the House because he failed to prosecute those people who appeared in front of Supreme Court justices' homes. That's a federal law, and he chooses to disobey or not to pay any attention to it. Where do you get off doing that?
Well, and Lou, you should know that obviously the, for example, the young man, remember this story, the young man who showed up in front of Justice Kavanaugh's home and had the wherewithal in the end not to go ahead. He was plainly armed, plainly incited to do something terrible. Terrible, right? Probably to attack the justice's home, his family, perhaps the justice himself. Law enforcement did respond to that, and that young man has been charged. And so the Department of Justice does respond to those kinds of things. But appreciate the call and appreciate your calling in about that particular event. We will look forward to Merrick Garland. I want to make another comment about this, sort of collateral to what the caller just indicated, and that is that, you know, once again, the J6 committee, significant in terms of telling America what happened, hugely important to our understanding about what happened for government reasons, certainly for political purposes, for our historical understanding of what our nation was about and continues to be about. We're heading into another election later this year, again, yet another one in the following year here in the state of Wisconsin, and certainly 2024. Important for us to know as we make these all-important decisions about who should be representing us in the White House, in the Congress, frankly, in our state house, in the governor's mansion, in our state assembly, in our state senate, all those things important for us to know. And they also go to this question of whether or not there should, in fact, be legislation enacted by the Congress to ensure that this never happens again. You may recall well that during the course of the Watergate hearings, 1973 and so forth, Sam Ervin and Howard Baker, a bipartisan committee, advanced a huge package of legislation to ensure that the offenses that Richard Nixon, including things like an enemies list, that those would no longer happen. Violations of the tax laws. We're going to chat at the end of this hour about one of those by the Trump administration. Huge numbers of things done by the committee at that time in the early 1970s to stop this from ever happening again. That also a part of the January 6th committee. What needs to happen from this? And we can anticipate that their report, when it comes out presumably in September of this year, maybe before, maybe a little bit after, will also advocate not only for a change in the way we think about America, but specific legislative actions that can be taken to ensure that the offenses and the violations of law that happened under this prior administration don't happen again. So that's also a part of their function. The Department of Justice does not need a referral from this committee to pursue any of these cases in terms of both the people who were there on the ground on January 6th or, as Merrick Garland has said, the higher-ups who might be responsible for the conduct and organization that the committee committee was talking about today. Department of Justice has the independent authority to pursue that. They plainly are. We've got another caller who's been on hold for a while. We'll take that caller right now. Your comment, your question about our discussion this afternoon.
Who's this, me?
Yes, that's you. We're glad to have you with us. Go right ahead.
This is CJ from Stoughton. Glad to talk to you, James.
Yes, CJ?
Well, it took January 6th for the Democrats to actually care about crime and violence. And Attorney General Merrick Garland doesn't believe he has the case. There's no smoking gun. There's no directive from Donald Trump. Why don't you play the part in his speech where he said, go down to the Capitol peacefully. You and January 6th committee never play that part. And he listened to Cipollone. He didn't pursue exactly what he wanted to do. So the mere fact that Cipollone is actually testifying doesn't, you didn't hear Cipollone said, look at what Donald Trump did. He didn't say, you know what, Cipollone, I'm doing it regardless of what you say. And so this is going to be another 2.5 year, $25 million flop, just like Adam Pencil Neck Schiff did with the Russian collusion.
And Adam, I appreciate so much your comment. We appreciate all views on this good radio program. Appreciate perspectives in all senses of the word. You know, it's important, I think, to understand that the Department of Justice does have a responsibility to do things in a nonpartisan way. I was part of the Department of Justice for 30 years. And I can tell you, both as a U.S. attorney, both as an interim U.S. attorney and the presidentially appointed U.S. attorney, that issues related to politics, to what partisan politics what might otherwise suggest one would do, never, ever, ever came up. And they shouldn't be a part of the process. I have said before on this very radio show that the decisions to prosecute people for political reasons, for reasons that are not reflective of the facts in the law, those are no less, no more corrupt than a decision not to prosecute for the same reason. And while I take your point very well, and certainly there's a lot to digest here when it comes to Pat Cipollone and others here, we also have to understand that our Department of Justice, whatever the decision is made by Merrick Garland, has got to be premised upon the facts, got to be premised upon the law, and got to be premised upon what are called the principles of federal prosecution, which take into account a wide variety of things related to deterrence and punishment and the future. A lot of criminal prosecution, as you know, is in intended for the future, to ensure that future presidents, future potential criminal defendants, do not in fact engage in the same kind of conduct out there. So we appreciate that comment, and we're going to be talking more about the January 6th committee right after the coming break here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm joined in the studio by Evan, always taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789.